We want to welcome you to this second session of the seminar Transformed by the Word of God, How to Experience the Power of Scripture in Your Life. It was a joy to share with you in the first session as we talked about laying a foundation, how to prepare our hearts for the Word of God. And in this second section, we're going to be looking at how to listen to God's Word. But I want to begin, as we did in session one, with prayer, inviting the Holy Spirit. I trust that you've prayed already this morning, but we want to just pray collectively as a group for the Holy Spirit to bless in our time, and then we're going to sing some scripture together. So will you kneel with me as we pray and invite the presence of the Lord to bless our meeting together? Our Father, which art in heaven, thank you for the gift of this new day. Thank you for the Sabbath, the time to rest, to rejoice in your love for us, in your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're thankful that we can gather together in your name to worship you, and we can gather around your word. And our Father, we want to listen to your word today. And so we pray that you would give us hearing hearts and open minds, that we would hear a life-changing word from you. Thank you for each person here. We pray for a special blessing upon each one. In Jesus' name, amen. We have another scripture song that we'd like to share with you in this session. If you have your Bible, you might want to look up Psalm 143 and verse 8. If you have a New King James version of the Bible, you'll discover that this is word for word out of the New King James, as was the song that we sang in session one. If you have another version, you may notice a few changes, but we're going to sing it as written up here on the board from the New King James version. It's a beautiful song to sing in the morning. In fact, I like to sing it when I wake up, or as I'm waking up in the morning. I want to share it with you. Psalm 143 and verse 8. I'll just sing it. Just sing along with me. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Let's try that again. Sounds beautiful. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. One of the things that is so important as we come to God and ask Him to transform our lives is to have that willing heart. Notice what the psalmist is saying in this word from the Lord. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. And as we do that, he's able to communicate his word to us. Well, we'll sing that again before our session is over, but I'm going to turn the board over here and we're going to sing our theme song, which we learned last night, from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. See if we can remember it together. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And if you're here for the first time this morning, haven't heard the song, just sing along with us. And if you're a musician, sing a part as we share the word together.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord.
Let's sing it again. It sounds beautiful.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord.
And all the people said, amen. What a beautiful choir. You know, one of the wonderful things about singing scripture is as we do so, the very word of God is hidden in our hearts. Now, we gave you some homework last night. I know homework's something that we don't always enjoy doing, but this is good homework. We asked you to think about memorizing a Bible text. In fact, we did more than ask you to think about it. We asked you to see if you could do it. And we gave you the New King James Version of 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And we're going to try to say that together. And if you need to look a little bit, you can. If you know a few of the words, say the ones that you do know. And we're going to go through that text. And then we're going to give you an opportunity to share together. Now, in session one, we had formed together with a learning partner in groups of two, and then we had put two groups into a group of four. If you're here for the first time today, try to find someone that can be a learning partner with you as we get into groups, or just join one of the groups, and that's the group that you'll be able to share with and interact with during the session today. And we're so thankful. Some of you have driven a long way to be here, and we're happy for each one of you. And we're happy for those who, even though they can't be here, will be able to listen to the tapes from American Cassette Ministry. So thank you for providing the church setting here that can share the blessing with other people. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 is a very powerful word from the Lord. We probably memorized it at some point, but I'd like us to really think about it this morning, and then we'll share in our groups. So let's try it together, and chances are I'll forget some of the words too in the excitement of the moment, so you help me out as we go through it. It starts and it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now that's a powerful text, isn't it? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. That means it's useful for us. That means it can make a difference to our lives. It's profitable. And it's profitable for four things at least, the scripture tells us. What are they again? It's profitable for doctrine. That's for teaching, isn't it? For doctrine, for reproof. And by the way, the function of scripture in terms of reproof is to reprove us, not for us to reprove others, right? We read the Bible and let the Bible speak to our own hearts rather than try to speak to everybody else's heart with the Bible. There's a place to encourage others, but reproof comes to us. So doctrine, reproof. What's the next one? Correction. You see, reproof tells you that you're going wrong, but correction tells you how to change it and get onto the right track. I'm thankful that God doesn't just tell us when we're wrong, but tells us how to get right. Amen? So correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman, there's a generic there, that's talking about all of us, the man, woman, boy or girl of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for what? Isn't that a wonderful text? Let's try it one more time together, and then I'm going to just have you get into your little groups here, and we're going to talk about what we've learned from trying to memorize that text, and if we haven't, let's just listen to it and share some insights. We're going to give you a minute each to share together, and we'll have that little bell that you've got used to, which tells you to change to the next person, and we'll learn some insights from each other, and then share some together as a group. But let's try the text one more time, and it's found where? In 2 Timothy 3, 16, and 17. And we're going to talk about memorizing scripture. It's very important to memorize the reference. Because you know that you say, I don't know, it's in the Bible somewhere. I know it is. I've read it somewhere. But we're going to memorize our Bible text with the reference so that we can open our Bibles and we can share with someone. So let's say the reference first, and then we'll say the text, and then we'll say the reference again at the end. And that kind of puts it in a sandwich. All right, you ready? 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So let's get into our groups. If you're listening on the tape, get into your group there, maybe a home Bible fellowship or worship time. Get into your groups, and we're going to give you 1 minute each. And I'd like the person whose birthday is closest to January to start. And then we'll give you a minute each to rotate around. What have you learned by hiding this text in your heart or by listening to it as we've shared it this morning? It's a wonderful thing to ring that bell and stop the discussions. I know there's lots of more things that we could share, but I want to take an opportunity for you to teach one another. We're going to teach and admonish one another. You don't have to sing your answer on this one, but to share it with grace in your heart, and we'll learn from each other. As you took the time between last night and today, how many of you had memorized 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 before last night? Okay, quite a few of you. But you went over it again, or maybe this was another version of the scriptures, New King James, so you looked at it. What did you learn from that experience and then sharing it again this morning? What were some of the lessons that you learned as you came and said, Lord, I want to hide this word in my heart and listen to it? We'd like to share with us something that you learned through that experience. All right, Rick.
I think the idea of being complete was a very attractive thing for me.
That's beautiful. By the way, I appreciate short answers. That way more people can share. So thank you for that conciseness. That the man or the woman of God can be complete. That's an exciting thought. A young man who has been studying with me, studying scripture this past semester, was out witnessing to someone, and he thought of this text. And it said, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And all of a sudden, all of his fear went away. And he said, if I'll only let the Word of God be in my heart by the Holy Spirit, I can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it spoke to his heart. All right, somebody else. What did you learn maybe about the text or about yourself as you came to this text? Yes, someone over here. Jack.
I found that the scripture was written directly for me.
As you read the scripture, you found it speaking directly to you. Isn't that wonderful? It's written for our admonition, isn't it? So somehow the miracle of God took place as Jack read the scripture. You see, the Holy Spirit spoke to the prophets wrote it down, but then as we read it with a prayerful heart, the Holy Spirit speaks again to us, doesn't he? Beautiful. Thank you for that insight. Anyone else? Something that you learned through the experience. Someone over here. Leroy.
I found that it tells me that the Bible is really the only book ever published that was written by God. And it's unique in that aspect.
All right. Just kind of an assurance about the importance of the Bible. All Scripture, not part of the Scripture, but all of it, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now, I think we'd all agree that there are some parts of the Scripture that are easier to understand than other parts of the Scripture. And as we talk today about how to listen to God's Word and how to develop a reading plan in the Word of God, there are easier places to start than the book of Ezekiel, you know? There are some places, if a person came to you who's thinking about becoming a Christian and they say, "Where should I start?" There are some places that would be better to start than other places. But even though some parts of the Bible may be difficult, all of it is God's Word. And it's all profitable. All right. Anybody else? Something you learned through the experience of taking this text and hiding it in your heart. Okay, Norma?
Instruction in righteousness. I can still grow spiritually.
All right. So there's always something more that God wants to tell us. We don't have to wait and say, life is going poorly, I need to go to the Bible. But when life is going well and I'm feeling a deep love for Jesus and a desire to follow Him, come to the Bible then, and there's more treasures that He wants to share with you. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, brother.
I see it as, in the world today, everybody's groping around looking for solid ground.
Yes.
The foundation. And I see the scriptures as the foundation, the solid ground.
Beautiful. Solid ground. Solid and immovable rock, the Word of God. Thank you for your insights. We're going to go on now and look here in this session about how to listen to God's Word. If you have your workbooks, we're on page 4 of our workbook. We're going to be talking about developing what I call a formative attitude toward the Scripture. If you'd like to follow along with the top of page 4 on your workbook. Having accepted Jesus, the living Word, as our personal Savior and Lord, it is important to develop a formative attitude toward Scripture. We live in a culture that seems to have an insatiable desire for information. We have more information at our fingertips than at any other time in the history of our planet. And yet our lives are disintegrating, families are dissolving, and communities are in disarray. We have as a culture then become preoccupied with amassing information and have neglected personal formation and life change. Now, what I want to share with you at the beginning of this session is that it's possible to have the same attitude toward the Bible. It's possible to come to the Bible, just like you're in college class, or you're in seventh grade or third grade, or you're taking a home study class. It's possible to come just to get information. Fill out the blanks for the Bible study. Put in the answers for the Sabbath school lesson. What God wants us to do is to come to the Bible, not just for information, but for personal formation of our lives. We call that character development, right? To allow God through His Word to actually speak to us and make a difference to our lives. Let's look at a beautiful quotation that Bodell's going to read, if you'd like to follow along, from the writings of Ellen White about how to come to the Scripture.
The Word of the living God is not merely written, but spoken. And I love this here. The Bible is God's voice speaking to us just as surely as though we could hear it with our ears. If we realize this, with what awe we would open God's Word, and with what earnestness would we search its precepts. The reading and contemplation of the Scriptures would be regarded as an audience with the Infinite One.
Can you imagine that? Every time you open your Bible, it's just as if God was speaking to you. It's what Jack said just now. I felt like God was speaking to me through the Bible. And Ellen White shares with us in that beautiful quotation that we just read that that's exactly what God wants to do. And so in order to nurture this attitude towards Scripture, we have to resist the attitude of wanting to control the text or become the master of the text, but rather to allow the text to shape our lives, to allow God through the Scripture to influence us. Let's look at another quotation there in the middle of page 4.
The student of the Bible should be taught to approach it in the spirit of a learner. We are to search its pages not for proof to sustain our opinions, but in order to know what God says.
Robert Mulholland, in a book called Shaped by the Word, The Power of Scripture and Spiritual Formation, echoes this same idea. And I just want to read a short quotation from his book. He says, when we come to Scripture with this attitude of allowing Scripture to shape our lives, we view the text not as an object out there for us to control or manipulate according to our own purposes, intentions, and desires, but rather to allow the text to master you. In reading the Bible, this means we come to the text with an openness to hear, to receive, to respond, to be a servant of the Word, rather than a master of the text. One person who's had a great influence on my life is John Wesley. Of course, you know the roots of our own movement come out of Methodism. The Harmon family were Methodists. And John Wesley was calling the people of England, and from England out, calling the people of the world back to the Bible, back to the Bible as the Word of God, and to not only get the information in the Bible, but to really live the Bible. It was a call to holiness and a call to purity. And Bodell's going to share with us now six valuable principles from John Wesley's writings about how to come to Scripture when we come to read the Scripture. And these are invaluable for you. They're precious. And I want to give you a chance to underline them, make some notes alongside as we look at these six principles starting on page 5 of your workbook, which will help us to come to Scripture in a way that we can listen to God.
Okay, the first principle, set aside a portion of time every morning and evening for reading Scripture. We must resist with all our strength the temptation to make our spiritual reading a lesser priority in our daily routine. In the constant repetition for our time and attention, nothing must be allowed to usurp the time we consecrate to God.
I want to ask you a question. What happens in your schedule with anything if you don't set aside time for it? It doesn't get done, does it? We may have spending time with the Word of God on our list. We all have lists, don't we, of things that we need to get done. Do you get everything on the list done? You never get everything on the list done. What things do you do on the list? Well, is that true? Do you get the most important things done? Not always, do you? Sometimes you omit the most important things. So which things do you get done? The ones you want to do, perhaps. Boy, that's telling, isn't it? Well, I had it on my list. Lord, you know I really intended to spend time with you today and this past week and the week before that. One of the most effective ways of setting a discipline in your life of reading the Scriptures each day is to set time in the morning and in the evening when you'll read the Bible. If you will do that. We'll talk about how to do that in just a moment. But if you'll say to yourself, I do not want to live my life without the Word of God. You say, but I don't have much time. I get up, I have enough time to watch the morning news and eat my breakfast. Well, how about skipping the morning news and listening to God's voice? You say, well, I don't know. I wouldn't know what's going on in the world. Well, I'd rather know what God wants me to know for that day than to know who was killed yesterday in Greenville or what happened, what terrible thing happened down in Miami. I have a feeling that through the media, Satan is trying to distract us from what God wants us to do. And you know, he'll even use apparently good things to distract us from the most important things. You say, I don't have an hour in the morning. Well, just take 5 minutes in the morning and let God speak to your heart in His Word. And as you begin and set time, God can create that desire within you for more. But it will never happen unless you make that first decision. Set time in the morning, in the evening, to read the Bible.
Okay, a second suggestion is be balanced in your reading, including sections from both the Old and the New Testament. And why would you think that this would be important? Balance.
All right. Have you ever tried reading through the Bible? We're going to talk about some reading plans in a minute. Which book do people usually start with? Genesis, okay? Which book do they usually end with? Joshua? That's the strong ones. The weak ones end in Leviticus, right? And we become experts in the books of Genesis, Exodus, and half of Leviticus. Why do you think it's helpful, as John Wesley suggests, to read both from the Old and the New Testament? By that we mean take some readings from different parts of the Bible. Yes, brother. All right, so we're not just... Okay. All right, so we want to listen to the whole counsel of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. All right, anybody else? Why would it be good to do that? Yes. All right, to get the whole story? Would you say that the picture of God revealed in certain books of the Bible is different from in other books of the Bible? It would at least appear so, wouldn't it? Maybe it's just another part of the picture, getting the whole picture. But that's the value of reading. I'm developing a simple plan right now. I was hoping I might have it to share with you, but we'll see if we can get a copy to the pastor and to American Cassette so that they have it. But I'm developing a plan which will enable you to... Actually, there's several parts to the plan. I'll talk to you about it later. But you can read through the New Testament and the Book of Psalms in a year. And then if you read in the evening also, you can read through the Old Testament and the Book of Proverbs in the same year. Now, some people read more than others, or some read more quickly. And you might just want to read through New Testament and Psalms 1 year, Old Testament and Proverbs. But as we get a balance of the Scripture, rather than spending all of our time in the book of Ezekiel or even in the book of Hebrews or Revelation, we get a broader picture of what God's wanting to tell us. So let's see, what was the first principle that Wesley shared with us? Set time, morning and evening. It's an appointment with God. Thank you. And the second principle? To have balance in the reading, to read both from the Old and from the New Testament.
The third suggestion is to receive the Word from the Lord with an earnest desire to know the whole will of God and a firm commitment to do it. You can follow along from the Testimonies, Volume 4. Those who read and study with an earnest desire for divine light will soon discover in the Scriptures a beauty and harmony which will captivate their attention, elevate their thoughts, and give them an inspiration and an energy of argument that will be powerful to convict and convert souls.
Notice the next quotation right underneath it. It is essential that we search the Scriptures for ourselves. for we want to understand what is truth. The youth, so that's speaking, I guess if it could speak to the youth, it could speak to the rest of us, right? Even to the young people, to the children, should read the Bible thoughtfully and prayerfully, and to some purpose, earnestly desiring to understand the sacred instruction of Christ. Whoever comes to the Bible with such a spirit, what spirit is that? Desiring to understand the counsel of God. And not just to know about it, but to what? To do it. That's right. To allow it to form our lives. Whoever comes to the Bible with such a spirit will receive the pure light of truth, full of inspiration, and the soft, subduing power of the Holy Spirit will cleanse and sanctify the heart of the honest seeker. Isn't that beautiful? The angels of God will be near to instruct him, to instruct her, who is of a teachable spirit. Then read the precious utterances of God's word slowly, patiently, reverently. When we come to the scripture then, we're not saying, well, I'm going to do my 3 chapters for today. I'm going to put in my 15 minutes for today. No, but as our sister said, I've made an appointment with God. I'm wanting to listen to the whole counsel of God, reading both Old and the New Testament. And now I'm coming wanting to know the will of God with a commitment to do it. That's important, isn't it? All right, let's look at the fourth one.
The fourth suggestion by Wesley, ask yourself how this passage relates to the scripture as a whole. And there's a quote from Steps to Christ, if you'd like to follow along. There is but little benefit derived from a hasty reading of the scriptures. One may read the whole Bible through and yet fail to see the beauty or comprehend its deep and hidden meaning. One passage studied until its significance is clear to the mind and its relation to the plan of salvation is evident is of more value than the perusal of many chapters with no definite purpose in view and no positive instruction gained.
Now let's say you're reading a Bible text. For example, let's say you're reading all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And Wesley has suggested, what's the fourth principle then? To see how it relates to the Bible as a whole. How would you know where to go? Our brother here said line upon line, right? Unless you're a tremendous Bible scholar and you know all of the other places, how are you going to know where to go? Anybody? What could you do to get some insight? This is what some of the great pioneers, people like William Miller and our great pioneers within our own church, they didn't go and read what all the theologians were saying. If they had, the movement of God would never have got started. Where did they go? They went to their Bibles, didn't they? And then they went to a concordance. Now, a concordance, you have, how many of you have one in the back of your Bible? A little concordance, okay? We're going to talk about concordances in a little more detail this afternoon when we talk under session 4 about how to study. But the concordance that William Miller used was this simple concordance called Cruden's Concordance. And if as you read a text and you're saying to yourself, what does it mean to be absent from the body and present with the Lord? Or reading a text on death or a text on forgiveness or a text that talks about blessed are those who do the gospel, obey the gospel. I can take this book and I can look up that word, for example, in our theme song, teaching and admonishing. I could look up the word admonishing in here, and I could read every other Bible text that speaks about admonition. In fact, we're going to do that this afternoon. By reading all of these other texts, I can hear the whole counsel of God, and I can see how it relates to the scripture as a whole. If I don't do that, what could happen to me? If I don't listen to see how it relates to the whole scripture, what could happen to me? I could end up with the wrong idea. I could look at something that is not saying what I think it's saying. And if I'll come to the rest of the scripture, it can correct me. We'll talk about studying a little later, but that's a simple way. You say, well, what else does the Bible say? Look up that word in your concordance and see where else it's found and look at those texts too.
The fifth suggestion is very important. We're on top of page 6. Bathe your scripture reading in prayer. Ask God what you might read, that what you read become internalized and transform your life. And there's some steps to Christ. Never should the Bible be studied without prayer. Before opening its pages, we should ask for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, and it will be given.
Amen.
A true knowledge of the Bible can be gained only through the aid of the Spirit by whom the Word was given.
I don't think there's any priority to this list. What I'm saying is maybe step 5 could be put in step 1, because that is so important. Put an asterisk in the margin, underline it. But that is so important. Satan and the kingdom of darkness become very nervous when you come to the scripture. Because the sword of the Spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 6, the sword of the Spirit is what? The Word of God. And we're going to discover in our next session that there's only one weapon that works against the enemy. It's the Word of God. And so Satan is going to try to distract you. Even when you come to the Bible, he's going to try to distract you. So this principle that Wesley points out, so important. Maybe we need to put it up at the beginning of the list. Bathe that scripture reading. Pray before you read for the Holy Spirit to be with you. Pray as you read. Pray when you're done reading. And then take it to the Lord in prayer as to what it means for your life. And I really appreciate that Steps to Christ quotation, don't you? Never. Never should the Bible be studied without prayer.
The sixth suggestion is to take time for personal reflection, asking, how does this relate to my life, to my heart? As the Holy Spirit brings insights to your mind, determine to act on them immediately.
Mulholland summarizes the importance of formational reading of Scripture in the following way, as I've noted here in your workbook. We must offer our discipline of spiritual reading to God with no strings attached, no demands, no limits, no expectations. We must offer it to God for His purposes, allowing it to become a means of God's grace to transform our lives. If I can put that in other words, I'm not coming to God and saying, okay, I'm going to transform my life by the Bible. Can anyone transform her life or his life? No. But I am saying, God, as I come to your word, I'm not just trying to find out who David's second son was, but I'm trying to find out what you want for my life. I want the Word of God to form me and to make a difference to the way that I live. So think about those principles as we come now to section B on page 6. I want to talk about selecting a translation. Now, not that many years ago, we didn't have the problem that we have today. It's a good problem and also a difficult problem. Not that many years ago, almost everybody had the King James Version of the Bible, right? In fact, some people thought the King James Version was the only version of the Bible. I remember a lady came up to my family one time with the King James Version. They'd just come out with a new version. This was over in England when I was a little boy. And she held up the King James Version and she said, if this was good enough for St. Paul, it's good enough for me. Well, have news for the dear sister. St. Paul did not have the King James Version. But it was about that old in her mind. King James Version translated in the 1600s and has been around for so long that, and it's a good translation, it's been helpful, it's blessed the church. But in recent years, lots of other different translations have come out. To illustrate that, let's ask a question of the group we've got right here. How many of you have the King James Version of the Bible with you? Let's see your hands. Okay? That's what I would think, about half of you. All right, how many of you have another Bible? Just hold it up if you have a different version of the Bible. Okay, let's see what different version. Just here in this group that we have this morning. Who has, let's see, what other version do you have? Anybody? All right, the New King James, which is the one that the New International Version. The Answer. That's a new one. But I'm sure it does have the answer in it. All right, that's a new version I've not heard of. The American Standard. All right? The New Revised Standard. Now we have Revised and New Revised, don't we? All right? The New King James, okay? Anyone else have another version? Oh, this one has 26 translations. Wow. No wonder it's thick. 26 translations, and it's called the Word. Maybe they should call it the Final Word, with 26 translations in it. By the way, that's a useful study tool. As you look, one of the things, even if you've not studied Greek and Hebrew, that you'll discover is when you come to a place in the text that is difficult to translate, it becomes readily apparent because you look down your different things and you'll find five or six different translations of the same phrase. Now, if it was really simple and Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," they'd all have the same thing, and on some texts they do. But you come to a difficult text, and that's where it's especially helpful to look at how they approach with the different translations. All right, well, let's talk about how to select a translation for our scripture reading and also for our memorization. We're in the middle of page 6. A couple of principles I would suggest to you, 4 principles here. Number 1, select a word-for-word translation rather than a thought-for-thought paraphrase. Now, you're familiar with the difference between a translation and a paraphrase. All right? A translation is where the scholars of Greek and Hebrew, and of course there's a little Aramaic too there, they try as faithfully as they can with all of their understanding of the language to write down exactly what the words say. Now, sometimes it's difficult, and that's where you get a few variations in different translations. But pretty much, they're saying, what does that word mean? And we want to translate that word. Now, there are some versions like the American Standard, which are very true to the text. Sometimes they almost sound a little awkward, but there's nothing wrong with that. They're just trying to tell you what the text is saying. And I'm reading through that version right now in my personal reading. And I find it very helpful and very honest and faithful to the text. And then there are some translations that want to make it a little more readable, and that's okay. But then we go over to the other end of the spectrum, and there are those who paraphrase. In other words, they say, what is that text saying? And then put it in their own words so that it's easier for people to understand. Now, there are some positive parts of that, and there are some real negative parts of that. For example, can you think of a paraphrase? Do you know any paraphrases of the Bible? Perhaps the best-known paraphrase version is the Living Bible, all right? I remember reading in the book of Ecclesiastes where it says, the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. And seeing a little footnote saying Solomon must have been sick when he wrote this because it's obviously not true. Well, I feel kind of nervous when a person is paraphrasing the Bible with those kind of presuppositions, because what do I end up reading? That's right, I end up reading what they think the Bible is saying. That's right, what they have been taught, what they think I should know about the Bible. Now, I don't know about you, but it doesn't matter how wonderful the person is, and I'm not being critical of anyone, but I would rather know what the Word itself is saying than what they think the Word is saying, wouldn't you? And I realize we're going to have to study and look at the different translations, but back again to point 1, select a word-for-word translation rather than a paraphrase. There are many excellent versions which seek to provide an accurate translation of the Hebrew and Greek texts. King James, Revised Standard, New International Version, New King James, New Revised Standard. There's lots of the American, the American Standard Version. And I think there's a New American Standard Version too, which are very faithful to the text. That's one point. Number two, if you're following along, if you're just beginning a systematic, formative reading of Scripture, this is an important point, it would be helpful to use the same version that you will be using for your Scripture memorization. For example, some of you here are memorizing from the New International Version. If you're just beginning a systematic reading of the Scripture, it would be very helpful to do that reading in the New International Version of the Bible. Because later, when you come back to memorize passages, you'll remember them from having read them. You'll be acquainted with them. Now, if you're farther down the journey, you can take another version of the Bible. But that would be helpful for you. You say, okay, I'm going to start memorizing the New King James or the New International Version. Let that be the version you're using right now for your regular reading of the Bible. Thirdly, once you have read through the Scriptures one time, choose a different word-for-word translation for your next reading through the Word. One of the men of God that had a profound influence on my life was H.M.S. Richards Sr. Did any of you ever have the privilege of hearing H.M.S. Richards preach? Wasn't he a wonderful preacher of the Word of God? I was talking to him one time about reading the Scripture, and he shared with me that he would read through the Bible two times every year. The beginning of the year, he would set aside all of his reading. He wouldn't read the newspaper, journals, probably set aside the Adventist Review and all of his other books. And in the book of January, he would read through the Bible. And then, starting in February and through December, he would read through the Bible a second time, more slowly and carefully, listening. Do you know, in his lifetime, of course now he sleeps in Jesus, he read through the Bible over 160 times? In over 12 different versions. So he didn't always read the King James or the NIV, but he read a lot of different versions of the Bible, and that can be really helpful. Bodil and I were talking about that this morning. If you've memorized the passage in one version, to then read it in another version and gain some other insights from it. But to read it in different versions, and that's exactly what he did. And no wonder he was such a powerful preacher of God's Word, and God used him so mightily. They say that sometimes, you know, he couldn't see very well, that he'd stand up and the Bible might be upside down, but he'd just keep sharing the Scripture as if he was reading it because he had it in his heart. So that's a third principle. I want to just come to the fourth, and then we'll have a chance to share some ideas. Across the page on page 7. We're going to select a word-for-word translation. Try to use one that we're using for our Scripture memorization. If you've read through one time, try another translation. And then fourthly, you may at some point choose to select a thought-for-thought paraphrase as you compare various Bible versions in your study use. You may discover fresh and creative ways of presenting Bible truth which complement the word-for-word translation. So you may find someone saying it in modern language and you say, yes, that is true to what the Bible is saying. I've studied it carefully in these different translations, and that would be a helpful way to communicate God's Word. All right, let's talk about making a plan for reading the Scripture, and then we'll take a little time to share together.
Okay, one plan would be to start with Genesis and then read a certain number of chapters for a certain amount of time every day. And if you read about 3 chapters a day, you can get through the Bible in a year.
We talked about the problem with that. You know what the problem is? You become an expert in the books of Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus. But there are some times that that's helpful, and I'm doing that right now in my own reading. But I did start in Matthew, and I went... started at the beginning of this year, and I went Matthew through Revelation, then I went back to Genesis, and I'm currently in 2 Samuel chapter 20. But if it's the first time you're reading through the Bible, it might be helpful to get a little more balance than that. And sometimes I'm going to share it even in my own reading, and I'm plowing through some of the Old Testament books. The 3 chapters I read, and I haven't really got that much out of it, and I need to read on 4, 5, 6, 7 chapters and finally find the Lord speaks to me in an insight. Let me share with you an insight that he shared with me just yesterday as I was reading in 2 Samuel. You're all familiar with the story of David and Bathsheba. Have you heard that story? Tragic story of how David was out there on the palace and he looked and he saw a woman taking a bath and he found out who it was. It was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And he called her. And you say, why did she come? Well, he was the king. She came and he took advantage of that situation, didn't he? You remember that story? And as I read the story, and it was so sad how then he tried to manipulate Uriah and try to get him drunk. And you say, what in the world is he doing? And finally, he actually orders the death of Uriah. And other of his soldiers are killed in that rigged execution, that plot to draw the troops back and cause Uriah to die. But there was one part at the beginning of that story that really spoke to me. The children of Israel had gone out to battle. They'd gone out, God had called them to go out and fight against their enemies, and there's just one little phrase, and it said, but David stayed behind in Jerusalem. And as I read that text, I thought, you know, how many times when God has asked me to do something, have I just stayed behind? And what happens when we stay behind from what God wants us to do? What happens? We get into trouble. Well, it's okay. You guys just go on. I'll just stay here. When God calls us to do something, when God wants us to be in a place, let's be there. Let's listen to Him. Now, there were a lot of things in those chapters that I read, and I'm sure that maybe if I was at different place in my spiritual journey, I'd have got a lot more out of all of it. But if you'll come with a heart that's open to God and read through those chapters, God's going to bring an insight to you that can make a difference to your life. So we're not speaking against the idea of going through systematically. Now, there are some dangers, but sometimes you may have to read a few more chapters to get something that really speaks to your heart.
Okay, another plan for scripture reading would be to read one book at a time, but in any order, to select the book that is interesting for you at that moment.
Are there any dangers with that? I'm interested in, knowing how to live for God. Maybe I should read the book of James, or I feel like I need joy and in my life. I think I'll read the book of Philippians. Is there anything wrong with that? Anybody? Anything wrong with that idea for reading scripture, just choosing a book at a time? No? Certainly better than not reading it at all, isn't it? What's the weakness with just kind of choosing one book and then another? Okay? We may not know what we need to hear. Yeah. So we may find ourselves always going back. For example, I may be discouraged and I may keep going back to the Psalms that say, oh Lord, hear my cry. You know, and that's good to read those, but the Lord may want to take me to Philippians where it talks about the joy of the Lord, or to Nehemiah where it says the joy of the Lord is my strength. So there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes God may impress you to come to a book, but we need to be careful if we just go from book to book that we're not reading what we think we need to hear rather than what God is leading us to.
And the third plan, we've already talked about it, Wesley's suggestion to read systematically through the new and the old, taking a little bit from the new and the old every day, the Old Testament.
I'd like you to take a moment just to share in your support group what has happened with you in terms of the reading of Scripture. We're at the middle of page 7, and then we're going to take a moment because I want to learn from you. Have you ever gone through a systematic reading of the Bible? Have you read through the Bible? And that's not necessarily good or bad. It's not like we're going to give a badge or a little pin to everybody who's read through the Bible. But have you tried a different approach to reading the Bible? What's worked for you? What hasn't? Which of these approaches to Scripture seems the most practical for you? I'd like you to just turn to your support group right now. We're going to give you just a couple of minutes to share if something's worked for you, and then we're going to share as a group together. Okay? It's interesting to hear you sharing. I wish I could listen in on some of the groups. But I'd like to have you share with us, for our benefit here and also for people who will be listening to this seminar on the tape, what has helped you to be systematic and disciplined in your reading of Scripture? What have you found to help you in reading through the Bible? And you might say, well, I'm not doing very well right now, but it helped me before when I did this. I'm sure that in this group there are some people at some point who've been reading the Bible. So have there been any things that have helped you to stay regular in your reading of the Scripture that you'd like to share with us? Anybody? Just an idea or something that you've done that's helped you. Okay, Rick?
This is not anything new, but for me it's a commitment to a certain period of time, not necessarily in the morning or the evening, but for me it's at my lunch hour.
You know, okay. So you're saying, here's my time of the day, and I really appreciate that point. How many of you here are morning people? Besides me, I'm a morning person. How many of you here are definitely not morning people? Okay, so when you read, cause me to hear my loving, your loving kindness in the morning, you say that's going to take a miracle, right? Give him the best part of your day. Give him a time when you can focus. It may be when you put the children down for a nap, or maybe when you get home from work, or maybe at lunch hour. But give him some time. And so you're saying, just to know that there is that time when I can read my Bible, has helped me. Good point. Anybody else? Yes, Betty back here.
Myself is sometimes we get hungry for a meal, but we also get hungry to spend time with the Lord, and I find that as I go through the day.
So you're saying getting hungry for spending time with God helps you to study. Wow, that's wonderful. By the way, there's a promise in the Beatitudes. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, if you don't feel that, and I think we would all agree that there have been times in our lives that we just haven't felt like reading the Bible. We may be going through a difficult time in our lives and we just don't feel like reading the Bible. We can pray and say, God, create that hunger within me. Create that thirst within me. And every time we feel our stomach growling for lunch, we can say, Lord, help me to hunger for you too. And that's one of the blessings of fasting. In this, the first seminar that American Cassette Ministries has called Christian Spirituality, we talk about fasting. And one of the gifts of fasting is to help me to realize that just like I crave after food all the time, I want to be longing after God. So I appreciate that awareness. Someone else? Yes. Leona over here, just let's get it on tape so you can speak into the microphone.
Well, Charles and I do our reading in the morning, morning worship, but the year that we took the conflict series and read through the Bible in together with the conflict series was the year that it meant the most to me.
Is that right? Beautiful. And do you read do you do that together? All right. Well, there's another principle that's very helpful. And that is, if you know that you have an appointment to meet with your husband or to meet with a fellow friend at lunch or wherever, and you know that person is going to be with you, or a Bible study group where you're reading through the Bible and sharing about it together, that can also help to have a spiritual companion that can encourage you. Okay? Have another comment over here from Paul.
One of the best things that I've had is the tapes of the Bible by Alexander Scorby.
Oh.
It was my privilege 1 year to go through the entire Bible 7 times.
That
right? Sealed it to my heart. I knew who was whom, and I could understand it. So we spend a lot of time in the car, many of us, and if we get that translation, he is so beautiful in his reading, and he reads the King James Version, and it gives me gave me a real understanding of the Bible.
Thank you for sharing that. That is so helpful. You can go on your morning walk. You can do your aerobics. You can listen to the Word. You can be in a traffic jam like we were yesterday. And instead of moaning and groaning and gnashing of teeth, you can be listening to the Word of God and actually use that time to be a blessing. So thank you so much. That's a very important one. And also, you know, there are some people who don't read very well. And they may have difficulty reading and they feel like they can't get the Word. but by listening to the tapes, it's available to all of us. Matthew?
One thing that's helpful to me is a lot of times I get stuck in a rut because I have a time where I, quote, have to read. And so sometimes I'm really busy or something, I'll just stop. Just do it when you don't have to, then it becomes something you want to do. Do it like you would take a break instead of, well, I have to do this in a set time, just out of the blue sometimes, you know, not even on a regular, every day at 3:30 or something.
Okay, so just kind of make it like a surprise time, not necessarily at a set time. That may add some variety. I'll just share with you one insight that's been helpful for me, and then we're going to sing our theme song, and we're going to close off session two here. It's time to close. One thing that's been really helpful to me is to keep a spiritual journal. And I actually have that in my planner where I take all of my appointments. I have a separate page, and right there I keep a journal of my scripture reading and prayers for the day. Let me tell you how that helps me. Have you ever had a morning, or should I say, when was the last morning, that everything just hit you as soon as you got up and you were into the day and something had to happen? Pretty soon you got halfway through the day and you realized that you'd not spent any time with God in prayer or Bible study. Has that happened to you recently? You ever have a day like that? I know one thing that's helped me. And by the way, when that day's happening to you, you don't oftentimes know it's happening till it's half over. I find that by having this place in my spiritual journal, you have a journal of some kind that you keep with your Bible, that if as I'm partway through the day and I leave it there and I go, whoa, that page is blank, I guess it's been one of those mornings. Then, like Matthew said, I can change gear and say, well, I missed it this morning, but it doesn't mean I have to miss it all day. And I can fit it in my lunch hour, take some time in the afternoon. And I've found that by writing those insights down, it can be a real blessing to me. And maybe that would be a way to help you know that you took that time that you've made a commitment to take each day. Well, let's sing our song that we learned this morning, Psalm 143 and verse 8, and then we'll pray together and thank God for His Word. All right.
Cause me to hear Your loving kindness in the morning, for in You do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to You.
One more time, let's sing it. Sing with praise in your heart.
Cause me to hear Your loving kindness in the morning, for in You do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to You.
Let's kneel together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we've been studying together about how to listen to Your Word, how to come to Scripture, not to be in control of Scripture, but to allow Your Scripture to shape our lives, to transform us. We confess this morning that we have been negligent, that many times we have not taken time to read Your Word. We ask You to forgive us. Forgive us for the times when we thought we were too busy doing other things to listen to You. We are so thankful that You have given us Your Word. And we pray that having made that covenant with You, that commitment, that as we come each day and take some time to read Your Word, that it would be like a personal meeting with You, that we might hear the living Word spoken to us, and not just written on paper. That as Brother shared this morning, that we would hear God speaking to us personally. Bless each one here, young and old, that truly the Word of God might dwell in us richly in all wisdom. And bless us as we continue in this seminar to talk about now how to hide God's Word in our heart, how to memorize it so that the Holy Spirit can cause it to flash out of our memories just at the time when we need it to be a blessing to others. Be with us and continue to guide, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Dr. Derek Morris in association with American Cassette Ministries, a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 1994, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. Christian ethics prohibit reproduction in any form. For additional Spirit-filled messages by Dr. Morris or other American Cassette Ministry speakers, please write to us at American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, ZIP 17108 in the United States of America. To place your order, call us toll-free 1-800-233-4450. Thank you for ordering American Cassette Ministry cassettes. We appreciate your continued prayers and financial support as together we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ.